Live from NPR News in Washington, I'm Korva Coleman. David Koch has died at the age of 79. NPR's Shannon Van Sant reports the billionaire industrialist was an influential force in American politics over the last few decades.
Koch was one of the wealthiest people in the world and donated much of his fortune to conservative political candidates and causes. Over five decades, he and his brother Charles grew their father's company, Koch Industries, into a huge empire operating oil pipelines and producing everything from textiles to Dixie cups. The Kochs' libertarian views date back to their upbringing in Wichita, Kansas. And David went on to be the Libertarian Party's vice presidential candidate in 1980. In addition to donating to libertarian causes, Koch contributed generously to many charities, including Lincoln Center and the American Museum of Natural History. Shannon Van Sant, NPR News.
The Chinese government says it's going to impose retaliatory tariffs on about $75 billion worth of U.S. goods. This is in response to President Trump's decision to impose tariffs on Chinese goods entering the U.S., some starting September 1st. Both countries have engaged in numerous rounds of trade talks. A new set of talks is supposed to start next month in Washington. President Trump leaves tonight for a meeting in France with the leaders of the world's largest economies. This year's G7 summit comes amid growing worries about the global economy. NPR's Frank Langfitt reports from London.
The leaders of the group of seven major industrial economies, including the U.S., the U.K., and Japan, arrive in Biarritz, the French beach resort, as the U.S.-China trade war grinds on after pounding global stocks last week. Stuart Patrick is a senior fellow at the Council on Foreign Relations, a think tank.
There'll be a lot of curiosity as to whether or not these major leaders of advanced market democracies can actually communicate a sense that they're on the same page, whether it's increasing stimulus in the global economy or avoiding protectionism.
But the G7 has been divided over the direction of the West as leaders grapple with the impact of economic globalization and rising populism at home. In particular, President Trump opposes multilateral organizations such as the World Trade Organization, which he insists disadvantages the U.S. Frank Langfitt, NPR News, London.
Japanese Prime Minister Shinzo Abe had strong words for South Korea today. This came after it decided to scrap a military intelligence sharing agreement with Japan. Abigail Leonard has more from Tokyo.
Abe said South Korea's decision damages trust between the two countries at a time when they should be cooperating, given the security concerns with North Korea. The flare-up shows how much U.S. leadership has declined here. The Trump administration had warned South Korea against pulling out of intelligence sharing, but South Korea did it anyway, in retaliation for Japan slowing the flow of certain exports.
Abigail Leonard reporting. This is NPR. The White House has again changed course on tax cuts. Now officials say they're looking at a broader approach instead of focusing on wealthier taxpayers. White House officials say any tax cut plan probably won't be proposed until next year during the presidential campaign. The doctor in charge of the Ebola response in Congo says the outbreak will be controlled in 3 to 4 months. NPR's Ada Peralta reports the outbreak is the second largest in history, killing almost 2,000 people.
Over its history, Democratic Republic of Congo has been able to control Ebola outbreaks fairly quickly. Since it was discovered here in 1976, the country has had 9 previous outbreaks. Dr. Jean-Jacques Muyembe has overseen the response to all of them. He was recently appointed to oversee this outbreak and tells NPR he has traveled the region and this outbreak will be over soon.
We have more confidence from the population. I have a discussion with the traditional chief. I think the message will be good and, we'll finish this outbreak.
The response in the region has been hampered by insecurity, but Muyembe thinks his negotiating skills will calm the situation and allow healthcare workers to move around more freely. Ada Peralta, NPR News, Kinshasa.
India is still keeping a communications blackout in the disputed Himalayan territory of Kashmir. The United Nations says this is collective punishment for the majority Muslim region, which Pakistan also claims. The UN is urging India to end the phone, cable, and internet blackout immediately. I'm Korva Coleman, NPR News, from Washington.